Well, let's add to our snapshots with a picture of Anna, who's just joined the scene. There we are. That's about the best one I could find from the archive, but that will mean something to some of you there as we see, just imagining Anna meeting Jesus as well and the discussion that we've just heard read to us. Age-wise, we're certainly know she's 84, but scholars, New Testament scholars, will grapple over the figures, depending how that's translated, that little phrase, and it could be that she was even as old as 103 to 105, in that sense. But still someone serving God. Huge encouragements this morning for all of us, whatever stage, decade of life, but that gentle reminder that God still has a ministry for each person who are his, following him. And here is Anna, involved living in the temple area, worshipping God, praying. Did you notice she's known her fair share of sorrow? Quite easy to flick past these sentences, these giveaway bits of information, but after just 7 years of marriage, she was widowed. And so for the largest proportion of her life, she has followed God. That says something to me of a sister in Christ, a saint. A person who has been knocked by hard life's knocks, but has somehow found the Lord in the pain and in the struggle and the suffering. Someone who hasn't become hardened and bitter and twisted by life's events. But she's become even more reliant upon her Lord, waiting on him, in him, hoping in him. And so, as we know, worshipping God, fasting and praying. And so she comes up to Mary and Joseph at just this right moment as well and gives thanks to God for his gift of the one who would bring forgiveness and redemption for Israel. Anna, too, recognizes the Lord Jesus as King. Now, obviously, she exercises this role. We know from verse 38, she spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Isn't that worth just pausing as well to say, here is this person who has got a natural ability to point others to Jesus. She's only got the baby Jesus to go on, but she is going to tell others. She's not going to stop telling others about this child that she has just met. The one born king. And in this last section, much briefer than the first, I just want to zoom into the faith that Anna and Simeon exhibit. They represent all that Israel should have been in terms of eyes open and ready to receive Jesus. They are expectant, obedient and ready to receive Jesus who will save. They're looking at a baby. That's all they have to go on. Yet they know in their bones, they know by the power of the Holy Spirit upon them, that this is no ordinary baby, but the Son of God, Saviour, who will save his people from their sins. And the inference is for both Simeon and Anna that they will die before Jesus dies. Yet they recognise Jesus as the one in whom they've hoped and waited for. And Simeon's final words to Mary and Joseph are going to be tremendously encouraging and supportive for Mary and Joseph over the months and years that will follow. We understand from verse 33 that Mary and Joseph marvel at what was said about their baby. And particularly for Mary and Joseph, for parents to hear this morning, you'll get into this a little bit more perhaps than those who've never had a child, but being a parent can be incredibly tough at times. You need encouragement. You need to hear a word of wisdom, a word of support, a word at just the right time. And for Mary particularly, because we will gather, we don't know the details, but Joseph will die in the childhood of Jesus, it seems. And having shared with Mary all of these amazing miraculous events with the birth of Jesus, Mary is going to lean on Simeon's words to help her through considerably. And notice what she has been given by way of a prophecy. Verse 34, saying to Mary his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too, Mary, Ouch. There is a prophetic word given in this snapshot of a meeting in the temple courts. Many people are going to fall because of Jesus, but many are going to rise because of Jesus. Jesus is going to speak and he will be spoken against. And the thoughts of many hearts will be exposed and revealed. Isn't that the wonderful thing about Jesus, that as he grew, as he lived, as he ministered, as he got to 30 years of age and had the 3 years brief ministry before going to the cross, he comforted many. But Jesus also disturbed many people. And we must remember that. He's the Son of God. And to be in the presence of the Son of God would be to have your hearts, your sin, your life exposed. And that's not pleasant for any person, then or now. But Jesus came to do that work of exposing and to do the work that would bring about redemption and salvation and healing and forgiveness. And what we have here in this picture, to use another picture that I've pinched from Tom Wright in his excellent commentary. Tom Wright describes it rather like the craftsman who is creating a stained glass window, and it's beautiful. And he's put all the lead in place, and we can imagine the scene as he has just been describing it through Luke's outline of the nativity scene as we've had it here. But then there is this section we've just been looking at, and you would expect the glass to go in when it's going in to be glass that's coloured regal colours, and the purples and the royalty colours, the stunning colours, wonderful beauty. But actually Luke at this point, through the words of Simeon, uses dark, ghastly colours. For even in the birth narrative and even in this 40-day period onwards, there is a sense of something dark and sombre and ominous that will await our Lord Jesus in his life. He's speaking already about rejection and suffering and pain and torture and ultimately the death of the king. And Simeon recognizes that and he speaks that. And although Jesus is just a baby, 1 week old at the beginning of this section and then 40 days on from there, he speaks of the hope for Simeon and for the Jewish nation and for the Gentile. Pick that up in verse 32, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. And that includes many of us, even here this morning. Yes, we understand the joy of these precious moments of the Christmas season, but we also this morning grasp something of the pain that was waiting for Jesus and Mary. It will mean a road marked suffering. For Mary, it will be tears and the hurt of a mother. As years later, she will see her son dying a death on a cross, rejected by many, opposed by those who want to kill him. And yet, through that pain and that suffering, the gift of Jesus, the light of God, the light of this world. We won't get a chance to hold baby Jesus. We don't need to. Jesus has come, he's been held as a baby. That's what makes it so precious in the incarnation. But what we do this morning and what we need to do this Christmas is not pack the Christmas nativity stuff away for another year, which will happen and maybe has happened or will happen in your home as well. But it is taking this scene and the scene we've looked at this morning into the new year ahead. And I wonder if I can put it figuratively, holding Jesus in your arms, receiving Jesus Christ for yourself, a light in the darkness, salvation, knowing that we can die satisfied. That's what Simeon was saying in this song. He can die now. Jesus has come. You know, friends, that's a wonderful way to live any day of life, because none of us know, but to die well in Christ, knowing that Christ is our Saviour, that no matter what a day or a year is going to bring, all is well, because Jesus came and he lived, he died, he rose again, he's alive forevermore. That's the Saviour we've got this morning, that we remind ourselves of in worship. Jesus is King. He's the promised King, the Messianic King. He is the King of the ages, the eternal King. This morning we ask the question, is he the recognised king? Do you recognise Jesus to be your king and your saviour? Well, we're going to sing a hymn as we end this morning to say just that. Jesus is King, and I will extol Him, give Him the glory and honour His name.